Great. It would be great if you could turn me to Romans chapter 12. While we're doing that, we're going to play a video. If you're at home on the stream, you're not going to see or hear this video because copyright stuff. But we're going to play a video. This is an ad that was made by HSBC. You'll remember them a few years ago. Hopefully it will appear on the screen behind me. You'll be able to see and hear. I want to talk to you about culture this morning. When I show that video to the students at the IBTI, the French and the German students find it hilarious because they know that it's absolutely true, especially those who have one German parent and one French parent. In Germany, if you leave the scene of an accident, you get fined a huge, even if it were a bump like that and you left a note and all of that. Anyway, there are a whole bunch of those videos that HSBC made to talk about the difference in culture around the world. So I want to read to you from Romans 12, and then I'm just going to talk a little bit about culture and our culture and what that means for us. So Romans 12, I'm going to read the whole of the chapter. It says that, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think that you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see that you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God, for the scripture says, I will take revenge, I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good." Paul writes to the church in Rome, and there are a whole load of reasons behind it, and he goes through a whole theological thing, but then he gets to Romans 12, and we know it says, therefore, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Therefore is because of that, do this. And he goes on saying, don't think like this world, like the culture of this world, but change. And he goes through a list of things which are opposite the culture of this world, opposite to the culture of the day. And so those are the things that I have read to you this morning. When Paul says don't fit into your culture without even thinking, we often think of somebody else's culture. We often think of, you know, the other people who are doing stuff wrong, and we can see it clearly. But especially when we look overseas, let me give you an example. If I were to say United States culture, we'd say, well, they have a gun culture. And we look at that and we say, well, that must be wrong because we don't have it. It seems really odd and strange to us as British people, but that's their culture. But the reality is they look back at our culture, and the Africans and the Eastern Europeans look at our culture, and they see things here that we don't see because we've grown up thinking that way. And that's the whole thing about culture, is we don't know that we've got it until something clashes. If you're a German person, you don't know that Germany is like looking after cars really well until you meet a French person and see what they do. And it's when culture clashes that we notice it. The New Testament letters that Paul writes nearly always deal with this issue. Let me give you some examples. In Philippi, when Paul writes the letter to the Philippians, he's writing to a culture where Philippi was almost founded because there was a big battle there that established the Roman, between two different sets of Roman soldiers. And anyway, all the veterans of the Roman army were settled in Philippi. So Philippi has this massive thing that the Roman Empire is the thing. If you've been a soldier in the Roman army, you are a citizen. And so Philippi is populated with retired Roman soldiers who have citizenship in the Roman Empire. And so when Paul writes to the church in Philippi, he speaks about becoming a citizen of heaven, not a citizen of the Roman Empire. He speaks about, Roman Empire, it's all about climbing your way to the top, looking out for number one, getting power. Power is a big deal. And Paul writes things like, you are citizens of heaven. Think of others more highly than yourself. Be a servant. Jesus gave up his right as a servant and humbled himself to death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him. So it's opposite to the culture of Philippi. Corinthians, to give an example. Well, in ancient or first century Roman Empire Greek culture, to Corinthianize was to live immorally and be drunk all the time. That was in plays and sketches, in the theaters. If you had a drunkard, he came from Corinth. That was their cult, that's how they portrayed it. Because that's what Corinth was like. There were two ports there, and there are a whole load of reasons. Lots of sailors and lots of prostitutes and all that stuff going on. And so there are massive issues of morality and stuff going on there. So when Paul writes to the Corinthians, what does he write about? He writes about morality. He writes about how to live and all of these things. And there were about 15 different problems that Paul addresses in Corinth, actually, in his letter, but they're all coming out of the culture of Corinth. In Romans, the church is divided ethnically. The Jews had been expelled from Rome for about 5 years by the Roman emperor because of anti-Semitism, and then later they're allowed back. But in the meantime, the Gentile church has just continued worshipping, but they've developed their own culture in doing so. And so the Jews return, and then there's a clash between the two cultures. Jew v. Gentile, grace versus law. And Paul writes to them, and he does the theology. We've seen here earlier chapters 1 to 11 of Romans. He does the theology and basically says, the law is fulfilled in Jesus. You don't need to keep the law anymore. You're free from all of that stuff. You can eat, you can eat pork and you can eat shellfish and all of those, I'm not going to go into that this morning. But you're free from that stuff because it was fulfilled in Jesus. But then he goes on to say, but treat each other properly. If somebody doesn't understand that, don't condemn them for it. So we're told to, treat each other well. So that's just a few examples I could go on of how culture affects the church, and Paul writes to the church to correct the world's culture coming into the church. Now, that should happen because we expect people to come to church and become Christians and become a follower of Jesus. And then they have to change their thinking because they've grown up with this culture, as we have. So it's hard to see the problems in our own culture, because to us, behavior is normal. So I asked myself, if Paul were to write a letter to the church in Folkestone, what would he write? Now, I'm not talking about the stuff that's obvious to us. I'm not talking about, you know, the stuff that's obviously a problem with culture generally, the stuff that is clearly sinful, the, you know, the stuff that's in the world and in the church that's obvious to us. But I was asking myself, what are the things that we don't see very well? And one of those God's been speaking to us about the last few weeks, so I'm going to start there. But just, you know, what is the pervading culture of the UK or Western Europe that gets into the church? When we become a Christian, what way of thinking do we bring with us that we need to be set free from? So what are the non-obvious issues? Well, the first one is this, is a culture of independence. I want to say the three things I'm going to talk to you about this morning, there are many more, are things which are pretty much looked upon in our culture as good things. But when they come into the church, they're not the best things. Because Jesus wants to think us to think higher. He wants to think according to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. And in our culture, these things are generally looked upon as good things. But when it comes to the church, they're not what God has called us to. So the first, a culture of independence. And we're used to doing things on our own, being self-sufficient. In a sense, as kids, as they're growing up, one of our aims is to get them to be self-sufficient. They can do it by themselves. You know, when a child starts to feed themselves, we're like, yay! It's a good thing. I saw a website while I was preparing for this that you can go on it. And so there's this model created by two sociologists. Anyway, they look into people and anthropology and all that stuff. And they've surveyed all the countries of the world, and they've created like this comparison website where you can click on your country and compare it with another. And it tells you the differences in culture. It's fascinating. It's called the Gert Hofsted model. And if you Google it, you'll find the website. It's quite fun to do that and compare the differences with our culture and other people's cultures and all of that stuff. But here in the UK, in the USA, in Western Europe generally, the culture of independence is really, really high. We want to be independent. If you're to compare us with Russia or China, communist countries or former communist countries, their culture of community is really high and their culture of independence really low, because they don't think or operate independently, because that's the way their culture is. Whereas ours is really high. There are other things that I'm not going to talk about this morning and don't really have time to talk about this. But just to show you that there are different ways of thinking that we have as people in the UK because of our culture. And independence is really high. It's a cultural norm, but it's not God's way for the church. In Eastern Europe, in Africa, I've experienced this in both places. It's families stay together. If you go to Africa, you'll see like the grandparents in a house, and then next door the parents, and then next door the kids, and they'll all live in a compound together. In Romania, the same thing. It's normal. I read an article from a girl who had lived in the United States. She grew up in the United States, but she'd lived in Russia, I think, while she was at university. And when she was returning from university, she said to her Russian friends, "Well, I need to get a place of my own now." And they said, "Why?" They couldn't get this, that she had to separate from her parents. She had to get a place of her own. But it's our cultural norm. It's what we are used to. And this independent spirit, that my first trip overseas was to Romania, and I remember being amazed that the whole family lived in a compound together, in a city, but in a compound together. It seemed really odd to me. I've seen the same in Burkina Faso and so many other places. But the culture of independence is not part of the culture of the kingdom of God. Romans 12, we read, we are the body of Christ. We all need each other. We cannot operate on our own. And our United Kingdom culture is against that. It makes our thinking be independent. We want to do it all ourselves. And we have to resist that in the church. Western worship songs easily demonstrate that. We sing so many songs that say I and me, and very few, we do sing some, and I'm excited when we do, that say we and our. And actually, Sarah, the other week in one of the meetings, got us to change the words of a song to we and. When we come together to worship, we come together to worship. Otherwise, we might as well just stay at home and watch the stream, and that's great to have. And for those at home, it's great to have you here. But there's something when we come together that is greater than when we do it on our own. And it's about, you know, collectively worshiping. And so those songs just demonstrate what is in our culture, the I and the me. And we, you know, we have to break that way of thinking and think the way that God wants us to think. Because I am part of you and you are part of me, because we're part of the body of Christ. The second thing that I want to just pick out this morning about our culture, and these are things that are considered good things in our culture but not part of the kingdom of God, is a culture of rights and responsibilities. You will have heard that. You probably will have said it. We all have rights and responsibilities. That's the culture of the Western world. But the church can do better. We have the UN Human Rights Charter, 39 articles. These are the rights that you have as a person. And these are my rights as a human being, as a citizen. In the UK, I can access healthcare and education and social benefits and law and order. They are my rights. But my responsibilities are to pay my taxes, to be a good citizen, to vote, to do all of those things. That's my rights and my responsibilities in a Western democracy. I could talk about that for a long time, but they're good and they're positive things, but they're not the culture of the kingdom of God. The danger is that we settle for less than God's plan for us. I'm not saying we should do away with that stuff. But in the church, we should be better. Because I often see Christians living in a rights and responsibilities mindset. It's often most easily identified when you don't receive what you perceive to be your rights. When you don't get what you think you should get, you get angry or you get frustrated or you get upset because it didn't work out the way I thought it should. And the response often is to fight for your rights. But we need to step up to a higher culture than that. The culture of the kingdom is servanthood. We've already mentioned Philippians 2. I'm going to turn and just read some verses from Philippians 2. Hopefully a bit on the screen for you. Philippians 2, verse 1 to 11. These are verses you'll probably know quite well. But this is Paul writing to the church of Philippi, who, as I've said already, the Roman culture is climb to get to the top. Power is important. Your rights as a citizen are really important. The things that you get as a citizen of Rome, and there were quite a lot of rights that they had. And then Paul says this, about to that group of people? Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble. Think of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. He didn't, another translation said, he didn't hang on to his rights. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave, was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above every other name. But the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The kingdom of God is about servanthood. Not gaining your rights. Jesus gave up his right, his power, his authority, and humbled himself. If every Christian served every other, then the questions of rights and responsibility wouldn't arise, because we would be giving each other what we need. And if somebody did not get what they needed, we would rise up to fight for their right rather than them having to do so. A culture of servanthood, not rights and responsibility. The final thing that I want to share with you this morning is a culture. So the world's culture is this, a culture of receiving rather than giving. The culture of the West is that we expect little of ourselves and a lot of other people. We have phrases like, the customer is always right. Of course, they're not, but that's what we say. We go to a restaurant and we expect everything on the menu to be there, and if they say, oh, sorry, there's no steak today, then we are like, at best, we're disappointed. Some people would be frustrated and angry about those things. You've seen that sort of thing happen, haven't you? And it doesn't live up to our expectations, because our expectations are high of other people. If somebody has high expectations of us and we don't meet them, then we're like, well, they shouldn't have such high expectations. But when we have those expectations of others, that's all right, isn't it? And we bring that culture into the church. We come to the church to receive for ourselves rather than give to others, rather than serve. We say things like, I didn't like the worship this morning, or the preacher was too long. Sorry. Those are the phrases that come out because we're waiting to be served rather than to be serving. Our expectations of others are high and self are low. We want to receive rather than give. But unless we change that culture, and that's the culture that people who come to the church, who become a Christian, that's the culture they bring with them. Unless we break it in ourselves and show another example, then we will bring that to the church. And the church becomes a service industry where we serve you instead of us serving each other. I believe the church should have high expectations of itself and low expectations of others. But that means I believe that I should have high expectations of myself and low expectations of you. And if we all did that, like I said before, if we all serve one another, then we all get what we need. I want to be in a church, I think I am, where everyone puts in a shift. You know, when Nehemiah built the walls of Jerusalem, everyone did the bit by their house. Even those who their job normally was making perfume, I picked that out because it seems to be the furthest from building in that list. But there were everyone was involved in that. That's what the body of Christ is about. That's what we read in Romans 12. Each one doing what God has gifted him to do, what God has called him to or her to do. But that means if the floor needs cleaning, I'll do it. I won't tell you some of the weird things I've had to do over the years as a minister, but regularly me or Pete or my dad has to rod the drains outside because that has to be done because the drains are dodgy here. Not normally me, to be honest. Normally Pete or my dad, but anyway. If the Sunday school needs teachers, somebody has to step up and say, I'm going to serve there. If we need, as we've already heard this morning, people for the coffee team, all of us know how to make coffee. Come on, we can all do that. Step up. Have low expectations of others and high expectations of yourself. If other people exceed your low expectations, then great. And if not, they don't. You're not hurt anyway because you haven't been disappointed. So just to conclude with this morning. We're born into a culture and we automatically adopt that culture. That means when we come to the church, well, we might have grown up in the church and adopted church culture, which isn't always healthy, by the way. But if we're added to the church, we have the culture of the world is our way of thinking. But Paul says, don't fit into your culture without even thinking. Sometimes, lots of times, we have to repent of our old culture, repent of the way of the thinking of this world, and change to be the way that he thinks. I've identified three areas of Western culture. There are many more. It's just that what God has been speaking to me about over the last few weeks. But here's the challenge, because whatever it is that you have in your way of thinking, which is not God's way of thinking, is the thing that he wants you to deal with. And you find often with God, he keeps reminding you over and over again of the thing that he wants you to change, of the thing that he wants you to change your thinking, change your way of doing things. I'm going to read again Romans 12, verse 3. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given us. We have to evaluate ourselves and be honest when we do it. I think that's often the most difficult evaluation. Easy for us to evaluate other people. Easy for us to look and say, well, they're not living according to the culture of the kingdom of God, because they do this, this, and this. And easy for them to point at me and say, he's not because he does this, this, and this. Much harder to examine ourselves. But I want to do that this morning. I'm going to pray in a moment. But actually, much more than that, we have to change our thinking, and therefore, when we change our thinking, the way we live also changes. Am I fitting in? That's where we started. Romans 12, verse 2. Am I fitting in without even thinking? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will need to learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So I'm going to pray in a moment, and then we're going to sing again, Blessed Be Your Name. As we were singing it before, I was just really aware that a lot of these three things are about our entitlement culture. And we've heard that phrase, I'm sure, before. We're entitled to stuff. And Job knew the opposite when he said, you give and take away, blessed be your name. And so I thought as we sang that this morning, we'll finish with that. You give and take away, blessed be your name. I may not get what I think is my right. I may not get all the stuff that I think should be mine. Or I may have it and God takes it away like he did with Job. But like Job, we have to say, you give and take away, but blessed be your name. Let's pray. Father, we recognize that our culture makes us think in a certain way, and often that way is not your way. Father, we want to repent of the times when we're independent. We want to repent of the times when we're just in rights and responsibilities and all of that stuff. Father, we want to repent of the times when we're receiving rather than giving. Father, I pray you'd help us to change the way we think. Father, I pray you would challenge us. Father, as David prayed, see if there be any wicked way in me. Father, we say, if there be any bad cultural thinking in us, Father, would you change us so that we can be more like you? Father, change the way we think. Father, I pray as we examine ourselves, you would just pinpoint even now the areas of change, whether it be one of those three or something else. Father, just put your finger on it and say, this is the thing. Father, I pray that you would just help us to change the way we think and to change the way we do. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. So let's sing together. We're going to sing, blessed be your name. You give and take away, blessed be your name. What a challenge that is. When some of the stuff that we think is our rights, our responsibility, that we own, that we, whatever it might be, and suddenly it's gone. But blessed be your name. Let's sing together.